We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Phone number to get in here on a Tuesday, 913-586-7798. John Grayson's on vacation this week, so Jason Nivens, afternoons on 98.9.
Uh-oh.
This isn't at all frustrating. 98.9 The Rock is here.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're getting through.
We sound like the Marge Simpson's sisters. You know, they like,
seriously,
have another cigarette, Jamie.
Seriously,
let's just get some whiskey in here to help clear out your throat.
Now. Okay, so
the Harvey Firestein.
It's not that bad. It's not as bad as it was at the end of last week.
You're doing just fine.
And last week it was
just
really bad.
Just keep up the good works, kids. You're doing great.
Okay, so studyfinds.org had picked up on this next study, as they are known to do.
I'm sorry, who? Studyfinds.org?
It's a great website. Check it out. It's okay, got all I'm kinds
going,
of fun stuff on
I'm
it.
I'm going there now.
And it's legit, Fine. Which is the most important Dot part org. Of it. They just pick up on different polls that have been done and scan through that kind of stuff sometimes. So there was a poll of 2,000 adults is who they talked to. And what they found, this is where Niven's going to mock my story.
I'm sorry, just the headline here in Health and Medical News, eating dinner late at night raises the risk of becoming obese.
Really? Right. I never would have thought.
Stay with me here.
I never would have thought that.
Stay with me.
That's crazy, Jamie. Go on.
New survey finds the average American estimates they have made four wrong major decisions in their life. And I was kind of surprised at the number because usually, you kind of hinted at this, but like a lot of people have like this no regrets attitude, like
no regrets. You got it.
You learn something out of it, you know, no bad decision as long as you learn a lesson out of it.
Yeah.
But this poll says that actually it's different for a lot of people. Nearly a third say they have made even more than four major wrong decisions in their life. And this is what I think is interesting. Besides that, 71% wish they had more guidance when it comes to making major life decisions. 913-586-7798. Who can admit at the major wrong? And I want us to define wrong decision. Like what made it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
If you call it, I'm curious about that. Why was it the wrong thing to do? When we talk about major life decisions, they're talking about investing, buying a home, making a career change, having a baby. I mean, think about major, major life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To have made four, the average person says they've gotten four of those wrong so far.
I thought about this when I went to, because you proposed this to me before when we were off air, and I thought about it because I had to go potty, and I think I only have one right now, and this is happening in real time, folks, and that is the belief that I was going to get a chance to see a reunited Rage Against the Machine, because it seems that now their 2023 North American leg has been canceled after being postponed a couple of times. They were supposed to be through T-Mobile. I thought we were going to all be singing along to Killing in the Name, maybe even enjoying a little cover of Ghost of Tom
Joad. That's all you got?
That's
really?
It. No, I don't, because I really do. I mean, as cliche as it is, I feel like every single step along the way in my life that I've made some errors, I've learned from, right?
But I think you can have learned from it and it still was a bad decision. Because I'm with you too. I mean, I've learned from every major thing I've done wrong.
I guess the attempt to build a rental property from ground up. You know, bought a plot of land, dug a hole, put a basement, framed it, all that. Got damn near to the finish line, and then all of those things just compounded with the most important thing: time and money, which I didn't have any more of, and had to sell it. Did I take a bath? I don't know. We'll find out come tax season. But you know, I mean, but I learned a lot from it, though. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of sort of things that I know how to do now on my own that I didn't mm-hmm. beforehand. I learned a lot about how that whole thing works. So in the event that I maybe want to try and build something in the future, sure. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I went through it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not happy about the fact that we had to sell it, mm-hmm. but I learned it. So I guess that, sure, that could be one.
I don't know that I have four, but I can think of several major regrets.
I mean, I've had, I opted for sushi with my family once and I didn't want to have it and I got food poisoning the next day. So, I mean, you know, does that count?
All right, I'll start. one of the biggest ones I have is, and some of these are going to get into generalities. Again, things I learned from, but that were genuine mistakes, like genuine regrets that I have. That, and I'll go back to, because investing was one of the biggest ones that was on here, where I had money invested in gas and oil in 2008.
Okay.
When gas prices started to tank and oil prices started to tank. And my regret was, I don't regret investing those things in the first place. I regret that I didn't better educate myself. I had a financial advisor at the time who wasn't doing a good enough job paying attention. And I ended up losing, I didn't lose a fortune because I didn't have a fortune to lose, but comparatively to how much money you have when you are that age, I lost a lot. And it was in part because I took bad advice and didn't educate myself well enough on the process. Now I'm much better educated, but that was still a regret that I let that go too long and wow, did I pay handsomely for it.
So
early retirement could have happened.
So financial mishap is a big regret.
Yeah, bad investment.
Bad investment.
Absolutely bad investment.
Okay.
In general, I have a bad habit of not listening to my gut. And that has been a regret of mine where I've been in multiple situations where there are red flags that I don't listen to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to. Because you don't want to believe that those are red flags. I have a lot of regrets about that. 913-586-7798. I'm going to ask the text line to keep it clean.
This one right here from 1801 is the best. The first wife, the second, the third wife, even the fourth.
913-586-7798.
That's great, man.
All right, we'll go to the phones here. Mike has called us up out of Topeka. Hey, Mike, what you got?
Hey, guys. So for me, I think my one big mistake was going to college. I always wanted, I've been in love with computers since I was knee high to a grasshopper, and I really wanted to get into programming. And once I got into the field, I realized I friggin' hated it. I can't stand sitting in a cubicle. It's just, I couldn't do it. And all throughout high school and college, I did welding as a side job. And that's how I paid for it. And, really fell in love with that. And I decided, you know, to get back into it. And I'm happier now than I ever have been before. So yeah, several thousand dollars down the drain because I have a degree I don't use.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I think that is something though. And I was watching the, like a recap last night of the Norm from This Old House on PBS. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's all these people mm-hmm. saying, you know, 43 years he's been at it and congratulations. And, mm-hmm. and they talked about that. They talked about people maybe exploring the trades as a more serious profession because you can make a great living and be a business owner as a plumber, as a carpenter, as you mentioned here, Mike, being a welder. And I think that's also, it sounds like we're kind of right around the same generation. Man, it feels like that was a big thing, a big push from our parents because like maybe their parents didn't go to college or they did. I think you talked about the armed services the other day. Yeah. Like that was a big sort of trajectory move for people out of high school. Whereas now,
I think for me, it was because my grandpa was in programming. He was in the Navy and worked with computers and stuff and actually worked with one of the first computers in the state at the docking building in Topeka.
Oh, wow.
And so I kind of had that draw to working with electronics and thought that was going to be where my passion was. And then once I got into it and realized it wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be. And then I realized that I actually enjoyed more of the physical working with my hands and seeing, you know, what I've built at the end of the day and being part of that, you know, the whole structure of our nation in a big sense. You know, I think for me, that's where I found my passion with that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. No, really appreciate you getting on. Always good to talk to you. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. This is what I think is interesting too. 7129 texted. I love my kids and I wouldn't trade them for anything. but having kids early made me miss college, financially unstable, and just made life harder for me and the kids. I've since recovered and am very successful and want for nothing, but it was definitely a misstep. I wish I had waited to have kids.
That's an interesting one.
Anybody else feel like that about the timing of when you have done things in your life that you wish you had done them at different times?
I mean, when I look at my two little booger eaters, right? And I know that, like, most recent, the koala bear, right? That's that's little Poppy.
They rotate names.
Yeah. So, you know, she's, as I mentioned, she's 10 months. She'll be a year next month. So she's. I look at that, and my neighbor made a joke. It's like, hey, when she gets out of high school, you'll be able to collect AARP. And I was like, oh, man. And there is moments of that when I'm like, oof. You know, I think about being my age and where my parents that raised me when they were that age and how much older I was. That makes sense because they had me. I think they adopted me when they were 27 and 30, respectfully, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I've got the bug, and she's 14, but then you've got these two other ones that I have to keep up with. And so, yeah, there's moments when I'm like, maybe it would have been better if my wife and I, Alex and I, would have had kids earlier on, but it's just the way it all happened, you know?
Right.
You know, and there's moments like, you know, my wife got pregnant when she was 20. So there's aspects of you know, the younger years that she missed out on. But she's such a homebody anymore that, like, she's fine with it.
How long were you guys married before you had... the first?
So we got married on our 5-year anniversary dating, and then so we were together for a couple of years. I'm trying to think exactly. So we got married in 2016. Credence was born 2018. So about two years without a goalie, and just trying to see whatever happens.
Without a goalie?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Whatever happens. And again, one of those weird life things, man. My brother checked out, and then we conceived immediately after that. The first attempt after that, and
yeah.
So I think there's like one of those, you know, the universe kind of had them touch hands, and Jeff helped bring the boy into the world.
I'm not judging your life decisions here, but did it occur to you to get married sooner than 5 years after you started date? Like, because you could have been having kids, not that you have to wait to get married to have kids, but you know what I mean? Like,
what was so interesting, though, with Alex and I is that when we first got together, I didn't meet her daughter. I didn't meet my stepdaughter for 6 months. We dated for 6 months before that because she wanted to make sure that we were stable and we were solid. And we just moved at a very, even though we were madly in love and even though we, you know, this is it. Like, I'm not going anywhere else and she's not going anywhere else. We just sort of moved at our own pace. And at one point, like, you know, she was living in Brookside. They were living in Brookside. I was still, you know, where we are now, downtown. And then eventually they moved in. And then we just sort of slowly kind of came together. It was never any rush or anything. I will say towards the end of us dating before I proposed and we set up the date, she had this morning where, like, she was like, where are we going? Is this going to happen? Like, are we going to get married? We're just going to date for the rest of our lives. And in my brain, like, I went downstairs, I got the engagement ring, and I came upstairs and I was like, here, you ready to do this or what? But then I was like, that's not the best way to go about asking her to marry me.
Make her squirm some more.
I was just like, don't worry, I got this figured out. And that was like on a Monday, and we had a show to perform in, or she was performing in a show before we started up our burlesque company. And so I had made it a plan to propose then because she was making her burlesque debut and all that, not just the stagehand, but actual performing. And so I had it all laid out with a couple friends and we had it all put together. But yeah, there was a moment when I was almost just gonna be like, fine, here it is. I was gonna do it this weekend, but no, you got all mad. And I realized that's probably not the best way to go. But yeah, we just kind of moved at our own pace, which was sort of weird because a lot of people thought that we would have tied the knot a lot sooner than we did. But
yeah.
We just, you know, we just did what we did.
913-586-7778. Again, study says they talked to 2,000 adults who said, on average, they have 4 major life regrets, which feels like a lot. If you want to get in, share yours, 913-586-7798. We'll take a break here. Be back in just a few minutes on KMBZ. Niven's found some snacks.
Yeah, you know.
How are the options down there?
Yeah. Overpriced and limited, like most vending machines.
Yes.
Overpriced and limited. I want to start a vending machine company just called Overpriced and Limited.
At least that way you know what you're getting.
Exactly.
Or not getting.
Like, truth in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, these shoes, sweatshop made. You know, like, so you know. Like, all right, yeah. Like, you know what? I'm fine with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jason Evans does Afternoons on the Rock, hanging out with me until 2 o'clock while John Grayson takes some well-deserved time off. Okay, I got this next story out of the Canadian Broadcasting Company, but I thought it was interesting because this has come up here also, making the suggestion that job applicants should be paid for job interviews. And they make a pretty good case for it, given how much time you have to invest in the process. 913-586-7798. If you can detail for me your job hunt efforts and what it took to get to the job you ended up getting. Michael Mackey, who you hear a lot on this station, just detailed this on his site about kind of his job hunt process and how many different interviews he had to do and stuff like that. And if you haven't been through that process in a while, it can be exhausting. Right. I mean, even just for the same job, the number of people that you can end up having to talk to until you get the job can be a lot. And so they break it down to consider the amount of effort put into a job application. For every position you apply for, you have to update your resume or portfolio, plus write a fresh cover letter. Sometimes you're asked to fill out lengthy questionnaires or complete assignments. I've had to do that before. Like when I was applying for teaching jobs, this was a while ago, but you have to submit like sample lesson plans.
Right.
Here's how you would do this. Or when I've done freelance work before, you do a little critique of what they're already doing to show what you would do differently. And that's hours of work that you're not being paid for. So there's a Calgary resident. While searching for work in 2019, she was called in for 20 interviews.
Wow.
She estimates she spent more than 80 hours on them collectively when preparation and travel time was factored in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Because, like, you know, you are asking to be an employee, right? Like you don't own the company. You know, you're not the boss. But 20? Did you say 20 interviews?
So she said, called for 20 interviews while searching for work. I don't know how many different jobs that was. But she said she was eventually hired by a local nonprofit, but said the interviewing process took up big chunks of her calendar. She said, I applied for the job in May. I had the first interview in June. I had the second interview at the end of June, a third interview in July, a fourth interview in August. And it was for a contract position that was only for 6 months.
It seems excessive.
It seems like a lot.
I mean, like, you know, I would think you, and I've never hired anybody before. So, I guess I sort of have. I mean, like, but not like in a job situation. Like, hey, I got to work on this. I need a construction guy, right? I need a plumber guy. Mm-hmm. I need, you know. But you would think you would get a good read on somebody after the second time.
Yes.
Like, do you have to go a third and a fourth time?
I guess it depends on the job, and maybe it depends on if it's a leadership position. If it's a leadership position, I can see there being
But you just said it's only 6 months. It's
for this, yes. Right, but in general, I mean.
Sure, but I'm saying she interviewed four times for a six-month job?
Mm-hmm. So there is a human resources consultant who last year started paying job seekers for interviews. Her name is Allison Vendetti, and she said it never sat well with her to call in applicants without compensating them for their time. And so now they start to pay and reimburse potential employees for their time. She doesn't list an amount here, although there's another one that does. How much do you think it's worth? Give me a number per interview, what you think you should be paid. Let's say the interview's an hour. With some prep time.
So the whole thing takes an hour, or the
interview itself takes an hour, and then whatever prep time you're going
to
do.
To get there, say it takes, let's just go 15 minutes each way, so an hour and a half, and then you filled out the application, all that stuff online. So a grand total of 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm giving them $25 Olive Garden gift card.
Food Share Toronto this year started paying job candidates $75 per interview as compensation for taking time off work or childcare expenses.
Sure.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
When you think about, especially if you have childcare that you have to think about.
But how many times do you think that people are just casting a net when they can simply use Indeed, right? That's what the commercials tell us. We can use Indeed. I mean, you know what I'm saying though? Like, when companies are looking to hire somebody, don't they typically know who they're going to get? Meaning they're going to get a referral from a fellow employee, or they've got an idea that this person would be good for them. So a lot of times you put out the advertisement, it's kind of smoke and mirrors. You're bringing in all these people, but you really know you want this one person.
Yeah, there's no way to know that, right? There's no way to know when you apply if the job is actually open. So is your point, like, there are some people that are just going to apply so that they're paid for the interview?
That might be a possibility. I mean, if you do that five times a day, you're making a pretty good amount of money.
You got to get the interview first, though. I assume well, maybe I shouldn't assume it. If you work in HR,
never assume.
Or if you're a boss.
Never assume.
But I assume I assume a company that is going to pay you to interview is going to do some serious vetting of you first.
Right.
So they don't waste their time paying for interviews.
And now here's the thing. Is that number a firm number every time? Because let's say that you're a single guy. You don't need money for daycare.
Shouldn't matter. To me, I mean, I don't have kids either.
That's what I'm saying.
So it shouldn't matter, you know.
But do you think it's by a case by case? Because I would assume that if you, again, assuming we shouldn't be assuming. Like, you know that this person coming in is taking time off from the current job they have and or putting their kid in a daycare. Or do you think they even know that stuff?
You shouldn't know it. I mean, and you're not allowed to ask some of that. Mm. So, no, I think it's a flat, whatever you're missing out on in your life to do this thing.
Huh.
So, but there are some cons to this, I think, as we're realizing. People might scam the system. 913-586-7798. We need to get to a break.
People would scam a system? No.
Jacob's on hold. Colin's got some stuff to add to this as well. Young that he is. We'll get to that and a lot more coming up next here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Jason Nivens, Afternoons on 98.9 The Rock, is in for John Grayson.
Hello.
Yes, it is still me, although it may not sound like it.
You're doing great, Jamie.
We'll
keep it up.
To Jacob and Colin here in just a sec. We're talking about the story that was out of CBC out of Canada, where there's a debate happening about whether job applicants should be paid for the interview process. There is one nonprofit in particular called Food Share Toronto that this year started paying job candidates $75 per interview. They say it's for compensation for taking time off work, or if they have to get a babysitter, or just whatever, just for taking time out of their life. And the interesting debate's kind of happening on the text line, where whose time are you worried about wasting? seems to be the debate here. We had a texter that said, I get it, but I hire for my company and I would never do this. I would end up just interviewing a bunch of people who had no intention of accepting the job, but just wanted the $75 to pay for the interview. And I said to Nivens off the air, in fact, we were talking about this, where we both know of jobs where that were open,
yeah,
but they knew who they wanted. The person was already picked.
I mean,
they just had to go through the interview process for EEO purposes.
And I feel, and you know, I don't know. It's been a while since I've been on the outside of radio and all that. But I feel like that's sort of like what happens a lot in our business, is that they have an idea of who they want, but they've got to do it. And they go through the whole rigmarole, and then you're like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, right, no problem.
So then you're wasting the job candidate's time because they are interviewing for a job you have no intention of hiring them
right.
for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not telling them that, but you already have the person picked out.
Yeah.
So who's, and the other thing I said was, how many of those interviews are necessary and how many of those interviews are because of a company culture thing?
Right.
You know, if you're doing six or eight or whatever interviews it is, how many of those need to happen and how many of those are just to make people feel better?
I mean, put it this way. All businesses don't like to spend money.
Right.
So if you're going to start paying people to interview, you're going to see a lot less interviews probably.
But maybe it's
more efficient. Much more efficient.
Yeah.
Is this real? We got another breaking news story. Did you see this?
Hold on one second.
Oh my gosh.
I got calls to take and what?
Oh, the Chiefs beat down the Buccaneers so bad on Sunday, it looks like Tom and Giselle are going to get divorced.
Okay, I don't know what you're doing right now. Are you being serious with me or are you playing?
Yeah, look, right here. It says right there. Tom Brady, Giselle.
Okay, hold that thought for a second. Let's make sure that's not just Page Six making stuff up.
All right.
We'll go to Jacob in Platte City. Jacob, thanks for holding on the line. I appreciate it.
Yeah, who cares about all that Chiefs Buccaneers stuff?
Well, he just told you, didn't he? What's going on, Jacob?
I want to touch on something that texter brought up before I get to my point. I've seen this a lot, and I think the whole $75 thing would be a easy way to get scammed out of $75.
Right.
Because you tell a guy on conditions of whatever, that unemployment, parole, probation, that he's got to apply for so many jobs. Well, he's just going to go apply for jobs. I've seen it many times. They just apply for jobs so they can stay out of trouble or keep getting an unemployment check, but without the intention of wanting that job.
Right.
And again, I look at it the other way, too. I also see it as, could an employer not do a better job of vetting people before they bring them in for interviews so as not to waste their money?
Right. And that's my original point I called about. If the interview takes more than one time, I don't understand how that happens. I've worked in construction and truck driving my whole life. And I've worked a few jobs where I've never even interviewed. I just called somebody and they said, okay, well, you can start tomorrow. And what interviews I have done were, hey, I know how to do this. I can do this. Here, fill out your information. Be here tomorrow.
Right.
So that whole interview, 3, 4, 5 interview thing kind of like boggles my mind a little bit. But I've never worked in the professional world either. So
yeah.
That's kind of how it's done out here is if you don't do the whole, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Can you, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know how to do this? Yes. Right. Okay. Start tomorrow. And we'll see if you're lying or not.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call, Jacob. I appreciate you getting in. And again, thanks for holding on. I'm going to bring Colin in because he is closer to the job interview process than either of us. For those who don't know, going through a teacher education program or aspiring to, right?
Here and there, yeah. I was going to touch on, so I've been working here on the third floor of this building for about 5.5 months, a little over 5 months. And I think I've been working this show a little over a month and a half maybe at this point, which feels like
time is flying
really fast.
Yeah.
So I'm fresh out of the quote unquote unemployment field, if that makes sense. So I figured that was my intro into this. So
were you collecting unemployment or just saying,
I was not.
You're
no.
just out of college and into.
I graduated in December from college, and from January until April, so about 4 months, I was working part time. Here was my schedule. It was pretty set in stone. So from 7 to 8 a.m. until about noon, I would look for jobs, apply for jobs, send emails, make phone calls for 4 hours, five hours a day.
Got it.
And Monday through Friday. And that was my entire morning. And then I would be scheduled on a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And I would work part-time those 3 days. And that is how I would stay living,
right,
where I was living at that point. The issue that I ran into is I would send an email or I would make a phone call and I would set up an interview and I'd get it all taken care of. And they say, okay, we still have a few other applicants to talk to and we will get back to you. So I wouldn't hear back for about 2 weeks. And by that time, I had already applied to other jobs. And then those jobs would say, yeah, we'll get back to you in about a week. And then 2 weeks later, I still hadn't heard from them.
Right.
And that just went on for about 4 months. And like, this wasn't obviously the, you know, shocker. This wasn't the only radio station I applied to.
Right.
Right?
Should it have been. Yeah.
Right.
What?
So I know it's crazy.
What?
Right. I looked all over the place to find work.
What?
Crazy. But it was just frustrating and a bit discouraging at times to apply for these jobs, and then sometimes you never even hear back.
Yeah.
Either. They're like, yeah, we'll get back to you in a week or so. We still have to talk to these other applicants and blah, 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 all that stuff. But that was the most frustrating part of it. I was fine with updating my resume, which I have probably 100 different copies of on my laptop right now, and sending emails, making cover letters, whatever it needs to be, right? But the most frustrating part of it that I saw, and I assume other people have experienced this as well, is hearing, hey, we'll get back to you soon. Mm-hmm. And then either you don't hear from them or it's 2 weeks later. And then they say, yeah, no, we're going to go with somebody else.
Right.
But what about the interview process? Like, how many actual interviews did you end up doing?
Not as many as I was expecting. A lot of it was over the phone, a very nonchalant, easy type conversation, or I would just get emails. I wouldn't even like hear from people.
Yeah.
But the interviews, the actual interviews I got set up are the two jobs that I have right now.
Wow.
So the two most official interviews that I had were the two jobs that I ended up getting. I did interview and I went on a trip. Like they drove me out to Western Kansas to go look at a radio station out there that they wanted me to go work at. So I went and traveled. I did a few interviews, but the two biggest interviews that I had ended up being the two jobs that I got that I'm working right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's everything you just said is exhausting. Like, I listened to that.
It was awful. It was four like, months.
This is why people stay in jobs for a long time.
I was just going to say, do you think this is why people hold jobs that maybe they're not keen on for quite a long time? Because the aspect of changing and moving and relocating and filling out paperwork ad nauseum over and over.
And just there are so many different places now to job hunt. So many different ways to find those jobs. You don't know if the job is actually open. Or if they're just collecting applications for when it is.
Right.
You don't know if they already have their candidate picked out and they have to, you have to go through the process of taking interviews anyway. Colin, I mean, I've been in that position before where not for a while, but again, more so in education than in radio. But when I was looking at education jobs more, I interviewed for jobs and found out later, they already had somebody picked.
That's, yeah.
Like I was never, it was never, and the amount of work that I put into that interview.
Yeah.
To try to do a good job was pointless.
Well, and to his point, I mean, your job hunt becomes the job.
Yeah. I mean, 4 hours a day.
The unpaid job, right, is hunting for a job.
The biggest mindset I think that I grew into was that they're going to do as much research on you that you need to be doing on them.
Yeah.
So let me ask you that then. How did they research you? Just by what you
told
them?
Social media. It's social media.
Really?
A ton.
A ton?
Yeah, they'll go look at your Twitter. Uh-huh. They'll find your Facebook. They'll find your Instagram. Like, granted, I'm private.
Your OnlyFans, maybe?
Yeah, man, well, yeah.
I'm uncomfortable.
So I'm
sorry, buddy. I was just
private on a lot of my social medias because going into education, I don't want my students to be able, that's right. And granted, I'm more of a private person in general. I just don't want people knowing my stuff.
Uh-huh.
So it might have been harder for that, but a lot of times it's like resources, and a lot of times, like in high school, I was always told to put like references at the bottom of my resume, which I don't anymore.
Okay.
But they would reach out to former employers, other people that I know, because they can see where I work. They can go on LinkedIn. They can go wherever they need to go to find out where I've been. So they can reach out to whoever they need to. But a lot of times it's social media, from what I've heard, specifically for teenagers and younger adults like myself.
Yeah.
And reaching out to employers, I think, are the two biggest how they do their research on
Previous employers.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that employers are doing their research ahead of time because it tells me they care about all of that.
Right.
Like, I like that they're doing that research before they decide whether to call you in. To me, that's good for the people that that end up getting the job because it means they weeded out the people that aren't a good fit. But I think the social media thing is as important for people Nivens of my age than your. It's just as important for us.
Yeah.
We have more history there than you do. And I'm the same as you, Colin. I'll never forget. I was in teacher ed 20 years ago. And I was told at the time, this is like the worst offense that you could have. I was told at the time, never have your picture taken with a drink in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was the big offense. Legal, you're over 21, perfectly legal. But they said to me, oh my gosh, never have your picture taken with a drink in your hand and never have that picture. Facebook had just started. I still never do that. There is not a single picture of me that exists with a drink in my hand because I just never forgot that. And I don't know why, but for the same reason, my social media is private.
Right.
I mean, even in this job, my social media is private. I think that doesn't hurt you.
Probably got to go through and maybe pull down some of the pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might need to go take a deep dive into the Facebook.
Pull down some. Yeah, I'm drinking. Got a couple here.
And it doesn't matter, right? It's totally legal. But yeah. They were so concerned about that, about the image that would project of you drinking as an adult.
Man, Sinatra didn't get that trip back then. Hunter S. Thompson never got the info.
Well, all right, thanks to everybody who got in here. We'll take
Hemingway.
A break. God, wrap up the hour. Thinking? Coming up next on KMBZ. 913-586-7798 is the phone number here to get in. Jason Evans, Afternoons on 98.9 The Rock, is in for John Grayson. If you listen to the show, you know that probably my most irrational fear is death by escalator.
Okay.
Anytime escalator comes up in a story, I get a little twitchy. So it's just always my fear, and it's totally irrational.
Not an elevator, but an escalator.
It's totally irrational. I get it. It doesn't make any sense. I understand. But it's that moment where you have to step off the escalator, and my fear.
You're like my 4-year-old. Oh, God.
You
oh
laugh
God.
At me all you want. Google, do a Google news search, and you'll find situations where this has happened. But where my foot will get, my fear is that my foot's going to get stuck.
Okay.
At the end of the escalator as you step off. And that fear is
this Final Destination
quantified
stuff right here?
More if I'm wearing laces, like shoes with laces, because uh-huh. I'm worried the laces are going to get stuck, and that's going to pull my foot under, and that's how I'm going to die.
Okay.
And so if you are with me, say at an airport, I will take the escalator. But when I hit the end.
You jump a little hop skip.
I do. Well, and I'm not a tall person, you know, so my stride is not that big. The goal is to keep my feet as far away from the edge of that escalator as possible to reduce the chance of death.
So you pull a Will Ferrell from Elf.
I don't know the reference. For those who also don't know the reference, what I'm doing is taking as big of a stride as I can to get my feet as far away from that edge as I can. So again, so I don't die. So then we have another story, and this is not the same thing, but when escalator and death show up in the same story, I start to get nervous. This has now happened 3 different times in recent months where a fan has died in an escalator incident at a major sporting event. We didn't talk about this yesterday. We didn't have time to. But a 27-year-old guy, Dalton Keene, fell from an escalator. I have no idea how to pronounce this.
Okay.
Acrisure? Is that what it is? Acrisure? Okay.
Acrisure Stadium.
God, that just doesn't sound right. Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. It was shortly after New York had defeated the home team 24-10, and he just fell.
Okay.
And there's a word for it, but like it was a high-level fall. And he died. He was pronounced dead at a hospital 25 minutes after the fall.
Okay.
And I was like, God, I feel like this has happened a lot lately. And it has. The New York Post ran it down. In July, a man fell from an escalator rail in the Eagles' Lincoln Financial Field during a concert for the weekend. Later that month, a woman fell to her death from an escalator at Empower Field at Mile High Stadium in Denver after a Kenny Chesney concert.
But when you say this, though, it makes it sound like, you know, like when you go to, say, Arrowhead, they got the, and even the, I think the, maybe Kauffman's the same way. They've got the big round, you know, the walkway's giant round, and a lot of people come down. It's a big round, like, circus. And how do you describe this? You guys know what I'm talking about.
Spiral.
Spiral. There it is. Thank you. You know, it's
an escalator?
No. It's just like you walk down. It's like,
okay.
So that way it's not all spread out when you're coming from the top rung and all that, right?
Okay.
And you know, if you're goofing around, you can flip over the edge and fall down. Is that you're falling off the edge to
to
their death?
Yeah.
So
that's what's happened several times.
Okay, so you're falling over and then dropping.
So
it's not the escalator. It's falling over the edge and then dropping so many feet to your plunging.
That's why I said at the beginning, this isn't exactly the same thing.
Got it.
But it is interesting that it's happened so many times.
How do they fall? Were they drunk? I mean, no, I mean, I'm not like, do they were goofing around?
This is not the official answer because we don't know exactly what happened in some of these.
All right.
But sometimes you're goofing around.
Right.
Sometimes you're riding on the railing. That's happened where somebody's been riding on the railing and you fall. You're just messing around. There have been cases where people have fallen down.
Uh-huh.
Like you don't fall over the edge. You just fall down the escalator and you get trampled. That's happened before.
Okay.
And then I don't remember this happening in 2007. Oh God, this happened a couple of times where the escalator switched direction and people tumbled. This happened at a Patriots game last year. I remember talking about this.
Huh.
At Gillette Stadium, when the escalator seemed to reverse, it malfunctioned.
Oh.
And it sent a group of people tumbling backward, and 9 people were hurt.
Okay.
Because it all of a sudden turned directions.
Yeah, sure.
In 07, 8 people were hurt at Giants Stadium when the bottom steps of an escalator suddenly fell inward.
Wow.
One person lost part of their leg there. This is why escalators scare me.
Yeah, I mean, escalators are a little shifty. Yeah, I get you on not trusting those things.
When in doubt, I take the stairs if I can.
Take the stairs. Are you an elevator person?
I don't care. But yeah, elevators are fine.
Some people,
I don't know why I have no fear, but
some people cannot do elevators.
Yeah.
So,
I see there's probably a bigger concern in an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more that can go wrong.
I would think so.
Than the number of things that could happen.
And I had heard if you were ever in a falling elevator, you're supposed to lay down on your back with your hands behind your head so the impact will spread throughout your body. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I heard.
I don't know much about physics, but that would seem to make sense, yeah.
So that way your body will absorb the impact and won't hurt as bad.
Yeah, I mean, the fear in an elevator always is going to be that one of those lines is going to... Yeah.
Well, most of them got brakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Have you been stuck in an elevator?
Yeah, I have. I'm trying to remember when and where, but I have.
I have not.
Not very long. It was not very long. It was okay.
Yeah, that's never happened to me, but that might freak me out after a little while to be in a small space and not know how long you're going to be stuck.
What would you rather be stuck in an elevator, by yourself or the stranger?
By myself.
By yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how long you're going to be there. What if they're weird?
What do they smell?
Awkward.
Flatulence.
Or
gassy.
Or not calm. I think I'd be more worried about somebody who is panicky.
Right.
Or not a good problem solver.
Yeah, yeah.
Help me figure it out. That's more likely to happen, I think.
Yeah. You know you're not supposed to climb out of an elevator.
I'm 5 feet tall. I'm not too worried about that.
In between floors.
Yeah, I would need help.
That'd be a Final Destination moment. Yeah. Cut you right in half.
All right, we'll take a break here. Be back in the next hour on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.